Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I hope you're having a great start to your Wednesday evening so far today. Just a quick reminder, this show is going to be pre-recorded, so any news that took place earlier on in the day Wednesday will not be included in today's show. Coming up today, we will sit down with Packers post-game radio network analyst Bill Schmidt to talk about Green Bay's victory over the Chargers. We'll have new Hatchet hockey coach Dewey Riley on to talk about the upcoming season. And we'll also talk Badger football and basketball, what they've been doing. We'll also break down the Brewers non-tendering Brandon Woodruff as they prepare for their fire sale. Plus, I'll be making my NFL Week 12 predictions, which will also include the three Thanksgiving Day games coming up tomorrow. By at around this time, I'll be down in New Glarus, spending the night with my in-laws, and I will also be in Stoughton tomorrow celebrating Thanksgiving with our family. So, this show will be pre-recorded. Let's go ahead and get right into it. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Antigo to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Wednesday evening and welcome to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. Hope you're having a great Wednesday so far today. Got a jam-packed show for you today. On today's show, we'll sit down with Bill Schmidt from 97.3 The Game to talk about the Packers' victory over the Chargers and what they need to do to get the win over the Lions this Thursday. And also, we'll sit down with new Hatchet hockey coach Dewey Riley to talk about the upcoming season. Plus, I'll make my NFL Week 12 predictions, and we'll talk about the Badger Fort Myers basketball championship game coming up tonight, and also the Bucks' 5-game winning streak. But we're going to begin on the gridiron with some Badger football. All right, so let's go ahead and get right into this here, shall we? Badger football broke their losing streak this past Saturday, knocking off Nebraska in overtime 24-17. Now, it was the definition of a gutty win for Wisconsin this past Saturday. Broke their losing streak, got them to be bowl eligible for the 22nd consecutive season, and you take the win however you can get it. So, Tanner Mordecai stepped up. He essentially managed the game. He didn't make any big mistakes, didn't make any big plays, but came away with a win with 160 yards passing and a touchdown. The Badgers were able to balance out their offense quite a bit in their win over Nebraska. And the Cornhuskers, this is a team that I think is going to be good for the future and a very tough out in the Big Ten because of who their coach is. Their coach is Matt Rhule, who failed as an NFL coach, obviously, in Carolina. But before he left for Carolina, he turned programs around no matter whatever way you took it. He made Temple football relevant, which is incredibly difficult to do. And Temple is known as a basketball school. And then he took Baylor after they had their huge scandal in the mid-2010s and turned them into a contender as well. So I think that Nebraska will be a tough out in the future. But for today, the Badgers were able to come back and get the victory. He got 156 rushing yards, 160 passing yards in this game. Braylon Allen, he didn't look like his normal self, but he was able to get the job done. 62 rushing yards and two touchdowns, averaging under 3 yards a carry. Will Pauling, believe it or not, continued to impress. He has been probably the Badgers' best player, not named Braylon Allen, so far this season on the offensive side of the ball. 90 total yards and a touchdown. It was the passing touchdown from Tanner Mordecai. Badgers came back from down 14 against Nebraska, led by Chuba Purdy, who happens to be Brock Purdy's younger brother. Badgers become bowl eligible for their 22nd consecutive season. They still have yet to not be bowl eligible since 2001. Now, I know that everyone had very high expectations for this Badger season. I thought that they would be a little bit better than this, but I always would tell people it doesn't take 1 year to build a college football program. It takes three, maybe four. Luke Fickell's first year when he was in Cincinnati, I'll say this again, was 4-8. It takes a while to build a program up. No matter whatever way you slice it, it takes a while to take a program and build it the way that you see fit. Paul Chryst, when he came into Wisconsin, he was a good coach. I'm not going to sit here and say that he was a bad coach by any stretch of the imagination. But he inherited a group that had Brett Bielema, some of his kids, and then Gary Anderson before he left. I think that's what his name was, to be the coach of Oregon State. So it does take time to build this program. It does take time to build a true contender. This does seem like an underachieving season, but believe me when I say that it isn't. It is not. No way is this an underachieving season by any stretch of the imagination. Now, what I can tell you is that I thought that they would have 8 or 9 wins this season, but I also understand that it may not come right away. Every fan out there wants instant gratification, whether it's professional or college. Whatever way you slice it. And that's just simply not the case with college sports. It takes a while to build a program up. Give it 4 years. That's what I say. Give it 4 years. If we believe that he is not the guy after 4 years, I'm totally okay with it. But understand, he built Cincinnati to be a contender. He was an assistant in Ohio State, where they have been a consistent national contender through, it seems like, out their whole history. So let's give Luke Fickell a little bit of a break here. Take the victory. That's all you can say. Take the victory here when it comes to this team. Tanner Mordecai obviously has been hurt. Braylon Allen's been hurt. The Badgers have been banged up a lot this season, and it's unfortunate. Now, you could go ahead and say that we shouldn't have lost to Indiana. You're right. You could say we shouldn't have lost to Northwestern. You're probably right. But it does take time to build this program up. Rome wasn't built in a day. Cincinnati wasn't built in a day. What you need to do if you are Wisconsin is that you take a look at this season. You take a look at the seniors that are graduating, which includes some of the transfers that brought in, including Tanner Mordecai. I really wish that he performed a lot better this season, but a combination of a new-look offense and also the fact that he got hurt, receivers were dropping passes left and right. I do feel bad for him because I thought that he was going to be a very good Badger quarterback this season. Braylon Allen will still be back next year, though, I hope. Ches Malusi will probably not be back. But now next year, we're going to go ahead and start to see more of this Phil Longo air raid attack, because that's what's going to be needed in order to win in this league. Because remember, you got USC and UCLA coming to the Big Ten next year. Badgers go out to USC next year. You can throw it all over the lot. Now, the one thing I will bring up also when it comes to this, Iowa is going to play in the Big Ten title game. They're going to play either Ohio State or Michigan, which in my opinion will be a very fun matchup. Something to look for. The Hawkeyes won the Big Ten West with defense and with grittiness. They didn't win many games with blowouts. They won with tough, gritty play. This Badger team can get gritty. I think that they will be very, very well set for the future. Just something to keep in mind. Taking a look at the scores from top 25 in the college football playoff from this past week. Number 11, Louisville, knocking off Miami 38-31. Number 24, Tulane over Florida Atlantic 24-8. Number 3, Michigan survives Maryland 31-24. Number 8, Alabama over Chattanooga 66-10. Number 14, Oklahoma survives BYU 31-24. Number 12, Penn State over Rutgers 27-6. Number 13, Ole Miss over Louisiana Monroe, 35-3. Number 17, Arizona shellacking number 22, Utah, 42-18. Number 19, Notre Dame over Wake Forest, 45-7. Number 1, Georgia shut down Tennessee. Number 18, Tennessee, 38-10. Clemson upsetting number 24, North Carolina, 31-20. Number 16, Iowa knocking off Illinois, 15-13. Number 23, Oklahoma State back in the win column, knocking off Houston, 43-30. Number 2, Ohio State over Minnesota, 37-3. Number 6, Oregon over Arizona State, 49-13. Number 4, Florida State over North Alabama, 58-13. Jordan Travis went down with an injury in that game. His college career is over. God bless him. I hope that he goes and gets better. Number 21, Kansas State over number 25, Kansas, 31-27. Number 5, Washington remains undefeated, but barely over number 11, Oregon State, 22-20. Number 9, Missouri over Florida, 33-31. Number 19, LSU over Georgia State, 56-14. And number 26, Texas over Iowa State, 26-16. Those are a look at the scores from across this past week in college football for the College Football Playoff Top 25 here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. After the break, we'll sit down with Packers post-game radio analyst Bill Schmidt to talk about Green Bay's victory over the Chargers and what they need to do to pull off the upset in Detroit tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day. That's all coming up. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Attention deer hunters. Viglet Stewart Express features a large selection of hunting products for the deer season. Choose from a variety of tree stands, plus deer scents, feeds, hunting clothing, lacrosse boots, and your hunting license. Viglet Stewart Express, North 4th Street, Tomahawk, also has a nice selection of beer and liquor as you relax after the hunt. Brian and the Viglet Stewart Express crew wish you the best of success during the deer hunting season.
Make it a warm holiday season with a Carrier Home Comfort System from Hilge's LP Gas. Carrier makes one of the most efficient heating systems rated by Energy Star. Make sure you're prepared for our Northwoods winter with your new Carrier furnace. And for a healthier home, add the Infinity Air Purifier with advanced filter that can capture and kill select viruses and bacteria. No matter what your home comfort needs are, you can count on Carrier and Hilge's to keep you comfortable. Carrier, turn to the experts at Hilge's LP Gas, South Tomahawk Avenue, or call Hilge's at 453-3505, 453-3505 for Hilge's LP Gas. Billy Bob's Sports Bar in Grinnell invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Happy hours Monday through Thursday from 2 until 5. On Fridays, Billy Bob serves their fantastic fish fry all day, and Saturday it's prime rib with servings starting at 5 and while supplies last. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, north of Tomahawk, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. It's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
And welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Hope you're having a great Wednesday today. My first guest for today's show from the Packers Radio Network, he also works for 97.3 The Game down in Milwaukee, is Bill Schmidt. Bill, welcome back to the show and thank you for joining me.
Oh, thank you as always for having me, Alex. Always looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Let's jump right into it here, Bill. Second win in 3 weeks for Green Bay this past weekend, knocking off the Chargers 23-20 come-from-behind victory. What was your takeaway from Green Bay's win this past Sunday?
My biggest takeaway from the game this Sunday was just the development of Jordan Love and being able to really put the pelt on the wall of most likely his best game as the Packers' starting quarterback this year here in 2023. I know the Bears game, he throws for 3 touchdowns. There might be more gaudy numbers there. It's his first 300 passing yard day. And more importantly, he made the plays necessary to win the game. Do they get aided by a defensive pass interference call on that final touchdown drive? Sure. But makes the play close enough to where the official has a good eye on it and finds it, right? And we've been waiting for this the last couple of weeks. There have been four games where the Packers have lost by a combined 11 points.
Yep.
And all you need is a field goal to go down and take the lead and win the game. This time around, it was on the positive side of things, right? And it, we've been waiting for that moment where it all clicks, and at the right time, you can out-duel the other guy on the other side. And the guy on the other side happens to be Justin Herbert, who a little while ago this year signed to be the richest quarterback in pro football history.
Yeah.
He's also one of four other quarterbacks, Alex, that was drafted in that 2020 draft class. And you look at who those names are. Joe Burrow already has led his team to a Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts did the same thing last year and is firmly in the middle of the MVP conversation. Tua Tagovailoa also in the middle of that MVP conversation. And then there's Justin Herbert, who has shown that he is talent-wise one of the best dudes doing it right now in the game. And Jordan Love looks at all four of those guys with those theoretical pelts on the wall, wants to be one of those guys, wants to prove he can be one of those guys, and out-dueled one of them on his home turf this weekend. So that's one of those non-statistical benchmarks that you like to see and you need to see in deciding if indeed you have your next franchise quarterback.
Yeah, let's go ahead and focus in a little more on Jordan Love's performance here, Bill. Love's stats for that game, 27 of 40, 322 yards, two touchdowns. He was making some big throws and big spots. Do you think his final drive was the most impressive drive he's had so far this year?
It's definitely up there. The other one would be the drive to take the lead against the New Orleans Saints earlier on in the year. But and also, I'll say this, the first drive against Pittsburgh was pretty impressive. He was coming off of one of the worst games, if not the worst game he had had as the starting quarterback against the Minnesota Vikings, and needed to start inspiring a little more confidence from the fan base in what he can do and what he can be. All he's done ever since is beat a team in the LA Rams by three scores that, sure, was a backup quarterback, but if you're going to be a good guy in the league, you need to go win that game. Did it. Went and battled and had his team in a position to win the game multiple times against the Steelers. That's a buzzsaw. Worse players than him have lost there. Better guys than him have lost there on the road against the Steelers unit like that. And now you have to go in and win a game against the team that you're probably not supposed to beat. And I think that part of it was one of the reasons why I would put it as probably his best drive so far, was everything going into it, everything surrounding the moment at home. That guy on the other side, you've battled and taken the lead prior to. Now go and retake the lead and give your defense one more chance to close it out for you.
Again, talking here with Bill Schmidt from 97.3 The Game. He's Packers post-game radio show host down there. Bill, we are now 10 games into the season. Green Bay's sitting now at 4-6. They've won two of their last three. Give me some positives and negatives that you have seen from this team 10 games into the season.
I think on the positive note, they've, and this has been a trend throughout the entire season, Alex, is what they've done in the second half of games. They've shown an ability to figure out what has worked in the first 30 minutes. Also, for a majority of these games, see what hasn't worked in the first 30 minutes, and then either scrap, go back to certain things, or just put the ball in some of their playmakers' hands and go and get some offense. The concerning things are issues that most teams that struggle go through, right? The inability to be complementary.
Yep.
Having your offense and defense playing their best ball at the same time in a game, and you can kind of take over for a stretch and make it difficult to beat you. They have not done that consistently. They also just have not taken the football away.
No, they haven't.
Enough. They are bottom five, I believe, in the league in turnovers forced. They're only minus three in the turnover differential throughout the season, but you got to be about the ball, and Matt LaFleur talks about it all the time. When you win the turnover battle about 85% of the time in the NFL, you're going to win the game.
Yes.
And they just have not won the turnover battle enough. And that can go to the offense, and it goes to the complementary status of it. When you need to take the ball away and give it back to your offense, they have not shown a consistent ability to do that. It's something that, if indeed they're going to make this last stretch of the season a pretty special, memorable run, they're going to need some of those turnovers to come in bunches, much like it did in December of 2022.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And you mentioned the turnover differential here. They did win the turnover battle, but it was only 1-0, and that was a red zone fumble by Austin Ekeler, I believe, early in the fourth quarter of that game.
Yep.
The only game where I can sit back and say that they played complimentary football was their opener against the Bears.
Yeah, absolutely so. And in that game, it seemed as though you were playing a much inferior opponent. I don't know... that once you see them again in Week 18, if it's the same deal, because
sure.
That Bears team just went to Detroit, a place that you're kind of, some people are dreading going to on Thursday, and you're going to go and take on a team that just went to the wire against arguably one of the worst teams in the NFL. So the Bears are getting a little bit better, but I would agree with you at that moment. That was one of the best times, probably the best that they have been, only times here in 23, where they've been able to put it together on both sides of the ball for an extended period of time.
And talking here with Bill Schmidt from 97.3 The Game down in Milwaukee. Bill, this seems very, very far-fetched, at least beginning the season. They do sit in 4-6, but they currently have the 8th slot in the NFC, which seems wild to me. And so I want to go ahead and play like the hypothetical game here with you. And you can say no shot if you think this. How much of a shot, if any, does Green Bay have at the postseason this year?
Oh, they absolutely have a shot. And I think that's where one of the next 2 weeks becomes paramount. If you get to 4-8 against the same spot that they were a year ago, when all of a sudden you rattle off 4 straight wins and a game against the Detroit Lions at home is for a playoff spot.
Yeah.
I think they very easily could get back to there if you look at what their schedule looks like in December. But I will say this, and this is why I would temper the excitement just a little bit. They were then assuming they have jumped into a spot in the NFL where you just win all the games you're supposed to. Because if you look at the December schedule after Kansas City comes here for a Sunday night game, you're supposed to beat the New York Giants.
Yes.
Supposed to probably beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home.
Yeah.
Same with the Carolina Panthers, and you're supposed to beat the Chicago Bears. I don't know that you're supposed to go on the road Sunday Night Football on New Year's Eve and beat the Minnesota Vikings. But you would need to need to win out to get yourself to 9-8, and you probably need a little bit of help. But the real way that they could mess around and find themselves playing ball later into January is winning one of these next two games.
Yes.
And Is that very far-fetched, to use your term? Probably it's a little far-fetched, but if you know, special seasons are made of special stories, and you're going to have to believe that they can go on out here. And after watching Kansas City on Monday night, definitely a doable task, but a tall one at that, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, talking here with Bill Schmidt from 97.3 The Game. Bill, final question I have for you before you let me go. You mentioned the next two games are going to be tough for Green Bay. They've got Detroit on Thanksgiving Day, which Detroit, they have easily become one of the best teams in the NFL, even though they struggled against the Bears. And then right after that, they turn right around, Sunday night game at home the following week against Kansas City. Let's focus on the game on Thanksgiving, though. What do the Packers need to do to pull off the upset in Detroit?
Well, they need to limit David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs from running wild on them like they did at Lambeau Field in Week 4. David Montgomery touched the ball 32 times in that game, and the Packers really didn't have an answer for him. He was also coming off an injury at that point. And Jahmyr Gibbs really hadn't burst onto the scene quite yet. After Montgomery went on the injured list, Gibbs has become that dude in Detroit. And I think he's definitely the A topic when you're looking at the defense of who do we stop, knowing what David Montgomery is. Jahmyr Gibbs might just have a little bit more in there. But they're going to have to be able to stop the run, especially better than they did a couple of weeks ago against Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren.
Yes.
But you're also going to have some sticky fingers and generate some of those turnovers that we just mentioned. Jared Goff has thrown a pick in 3 of his last 4 games, 3 last week to the Bears. Coming in last year to Lambeau for the Week 18 game with the playoffs on the line, he hadn't thrown an interception, I believe, in 8 games. He was like 15-0 touchdown-to-interception ratio in the second half of the year. And they were not able to get enough pressure and generate some of those mistakes. He is prone to throw them in bunches. He's throwing some right now. You got to be the recipient of one of those and get yourself a short field. Take advantage that way. You mentioned Detroit has quickly become one of the better teams in the NFC, if not the best team. I think they're in that conversation, and it'll be it'll be decided into the postseason.
But yes,
they're going to have to be able to limit that ground game, and conversely, they're going to have to put up some points because Detroit's not going to lose a game at home in the low 20s. I assume you're going to have to score probably 27, 28 points at least to be able to come out victorious in this game.
And just so you know, it is reported, not confirmed yet, but it sounds like that the Packers are at least going to be without Aaron Jones on Thursday.
Yeah, it would appear so. And, definitely better news than what was initially feared.
Yes.
When Jones exited the field on Sunday to a large standing ovation as he was carted off in a really tough fashion for Aaron Jones. You just hope that he's able to come back at Lambeau Field at some point and run off the field the right way.
Yeah, definitely agree. Bill, do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up here?
I just want everybody to make sure that they have themselves a happy Thanksgiving and make sure that whether you're baking that turkey in the oven, you're frying it out in the garage, you're putting one of those Traeger smokers, be safe, enjoy it, and be very thankful that we are able to hang on out here. I know I'm very thankful for whenever you have me on up here in the North Woods, Alex. So anytime you want, you let me know, all right?
Well, I definitely appreciate that, Bill. Again, Packers take on Detroit tomorrow morning for Thanksgiving Day football. Kickoff is at 11:30. We'll actually have the broadcast for you here on WJJQ, coverage starting at 11 o'clock. Bill, thank you very much for joining me, and you have yourself a happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Alex. Always appreciate it, man.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We'll be back with more of the Sports Q right after this here on WJJQ.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Do you have uncoated concrete? When concrete is left unprotected, moisture can combine with organic particles in the concrete's pores, which can lead to the growth of mold, mildew, and bacteria, which also can lead to negative health outcomes. Wisconsin Coating Specialist offers coatings that seal off pores and prevents moisture from penetrating the surface to provide you with a durable, clean, and beautiful surface for the whole family to enjoy. Call Wisconsin Coating Specialist for your free estimate, 715-298-9533. Wisconsin Coating Specialist, tough and beautiful.
We all have hopes, dreams, and goals for ourselves and our family. This is Rich Teggy with Wealth Strategy Group. Financial goals are no different than any other goal. It all starts with a plan. We know the importance of a solid financial plan focused on what's most important to you. We listen and take the time to understand your vision and create a strategy to pursue your specific dreams and goals. We would appreciate the opportunity to discuss your goals, understand your financial situation, and create a plan tailored to reaching your desired retirement lifestyle. Wealth Strategy Group is here to provide the assistance you need. Call us today at 453-0722 or access us on the web at wsginvest.com or stop by our office on North 4th Street in Tomahawk. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Get on board at Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Outboards serves their fantastic menu selections from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Stop on by for happy hour from 2 until 5, Monday through Thursday. Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk, features their Friday fish fry with cod, walleye, shrimp, and catch of the day. It's Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Get on board.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Hope you're having a great Wednesday so far today. Thank you very much to Bill Schmidt for joining me on the program, talking the Packers. Again, Green Bay taking on Detroit tomorrow for Thanksgiving Day football. We'll have the broadcast for you on WJJQ. Coverage begins at 11 o'clock. Let's go ahead and now dive into some baseball here. We're going to go ahead and focus in on the Brewers. And this is a sad move that had to be made, but I think it was necessary in order to make it. The Brewers have officially non-tendered Woodruff, officially releasing him. Listen, they were trying to trade him earlier in the day. There was not a team that would go ahead and get him off his numbers because I understand not being able to trade for a pitcher that is going to count $11 million against the cap and he's not even going to pitch next year. Like, I understand that. That is one of the most understandable moves that any MLB team can make. But this is an understandable release. Nobody wants a 30-year-old pitcher, in my opinion, who's hurt going into the final year of his contract, and that's what Woodruff is. This is the last year of his deal, this upcoming year, 2024, it was, before Milwaukee cut bait with him. And nobody wants an $11 million pitcher on the books if you are not going to have him pitch at all this season. Now, this was a move that needed to be made. Here's the thing. This does open up $11 million for the Brewers, and you can get a quality player or two, if you will, for $11 million. We'll see what they do in free agency this season. Obviously, the question marks surrounding Burns and Adames are still big, and I'll get to those in a moment. This move was surprising to me because I didn't know if the Brewers were going to try and keep him after this season. This was very, very similar, in my opinion, to when Jimmy Nelson got hurt. If you remember, Jimmy Nelson, very good young pitcher for the Brewers, was probably on his way to becoming one of the better aces in all of baseball. And then an arm injury in late 2017 kept him out for the season, kept him out for the end of that season and also all of the following season, which was the year that Milwaukee went all the way to the NLCS and lost in seven to the LA Dodgers. My thing is with this, I was actually there when Jimmy Nelson returned to the lineup against the Marlins back in 2019. I think it was in May or June of 2019, one of those months. And he got shellacked. And he clearly was not the same pitcher. So rather than making the mistake of hanging on to this guy and thinking that we can go ahead and sign him to a big deal in 25 with the major shoulder surgery that he is taking place, the Brewers cut ties with him, which I think, again, it was the right move. It was surprising. But I think the reason why the Brewers made this move is because nobody knows how good Brandon Woodruff will be in 2025. This guy is a Cy Young contender when he is healthy year in and year out. So if you want to go ahead and sit here and say that this was a bad move, I would rather have $11 million more in free agency to go out and get a quality player or two or a veteran, because the Brewers this year are going to be rebuilding, as Hunter Baumgart so very, very much articulated when he joined me after we talked about Pat Murphy getting hired as the Brewers manager. So with Pat Murphy in, and now Ricky Weeks is slated to be essentially the bench coach. He'll be the assistant manager, which I think most of Milwaukee saw coming because the Brewers are going to need to go into this sort of rebuilding mode in order to make sure that they return to contention. And I'll go back to this, and I hate to say this, but this is the problem with being a small market baseball team. With a small market football team, you can still contend at a high level. The Packers have been contenders for 18 years because they had Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. They were contenders for 15 years because they had Brett Favre at quarterback. For 25 years, though, they were dormant. And they were a small market because the fans love the organization. They are owners. The fans have the owners in the stake. With the Bucks, until recently, they were afraid to spend money because they didn't want to get put over the luxury tax. With baseball, it's a unique situation because there is no salary cap. So therefore, you will have to estimate under what you're able to bring in. And Mark Adonazio has able to bring in X amount of money, and he is going to be able to release or trade whoever he wants with Matt Arnold at the GM, obviously, to help make this team better. That really what it boils down to. And my final point is this. The fire sale is officially underway. Craig Counsell, bolting for the Cubs. Brandon Woodruff, released by the Brewers. Burns and Adames are probably going to be next. I think that you can get a really good haul for Corbin Burns because he's right now in the prime of his career. He was a Cy Young candidate this past season. He won a Cy Young back in 2021. He was mainly the biggest reason why the Brewers pitching staff kept Milwaukee in certain games when you had Willie Adames and Rowdy Tellez perform probably their best ball in 2021 and in 2022. And speaking of Willy Adames, listen, Adames is a very good defensive player. He teetered off offensively this past season. I think it might have been due to the pitch clock, because with some players, they never responded. They never got comfortable with this, no matter how long the season lasted. And I have a feeling that it was the same way with some of the pitchers. I remember, I think it was Max Scherzer, who is now a World Series champion with the Rangers. I remember him saying, I believe it was a couple of days ago, I can't remember if it was yesterday or the day before, that the pitch clock is some of the biggest reason why, is one of the biggest reasons why, there were more severe injuries among pitchers in baseball, which you can make a legitimate argument. That's a legitimate argument to make. But what I would tell everyone is that this is the way it's going to work. It was more entertaining for the fans. It was more entertaining to watch this team and to watch baseball this season. Because that's how it operates. That is honestly how it operates. That's how baseball operates. They try and adapt to what the fans want. And the fans wanted faster games, and they got it. The rebuild has already begun for the Brewers. They got a lot of young talent. Let's just see how much they can hang on to as the season progresses. Now, that's going to do it for the Milwaukee Brewers Talk here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ, the Sports Q. Coming up on the other side of CBS News, we'll sit down with new Hatchet hockey coach Dewey Riley to talk about the team's first tournament of the season in Amory. We will also sit down and talk about our Week 12 NFL predictions that I will be making. Plus, we will have more discussions about the Badger men's basketball team and the Fort Myers Tip-Off Championship, and we'll also talk about the Bucks' winning streak. That's all coming up on the second half of our show. This is the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. It's 6 o'clock and time for CBS News.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods, you're listening to the Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
Is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks, and we are following two big stories this hour. Israel just announced its delayed hostage deal with Hamas. But first, a dramatic crash at the U.S.-Canada border near Niagara Falls.
Car was coming flying back here, like over 100 miles an hour. We could hardly even see him. It was going that quick. And then it looked like he hit the fence, and this fire started. And then all of a sudden, he went up in the air. And then it was a ball of fire, like 30, 40 feet high.
Two people died, but officials say there's no indication of terrorism.
We just need to dial down the temperature right now.
Governor Hochul speaking at a news conference following a crash at the Rainbow Bridge that leads into Canada.
Just let everybody know, all is well. We're investigating. More information could arise, but based on the preliminary investigation, no sign of terrorist involvement in the horrific explosion that occurred here in Western New York.
She also said the investigation into that crash could take several days. Linda Kenyon, CBS News.
It'll be another day before Hamas starts releasing hostages. Here's CBS's Christina Ruffini.
The start of the release will take place according to the original agreement, so that means they're going to follow what they worked out, but now instead of starting tomorrow, it says it's not going to start before Friday. Now, obviously, this is just happening, so we're not exactly sure why. But it doesn't say that the deal has fallen apart, only that it's getting delayed one day.
Thanksgiving travel starting to pick up at airports and on the road.
Lower gas prices are something to be thankful for as tens of millions travel this Thanksgiving week. Justin Patterson is glad there's less pain at the pump.
This has been ridiculous. You know, gas prices, everything else, and people can barely afford this.
Average gas prices are down about 40 cents a gallon from last Thanksgiving. Jim Crisula, CBS News, along Interstate 40 in Durham, North Carolina.
People in New York are celebrating a pre-holiday tradition today, watching workers blow up giant balloons for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
We're so excited to be here. It's so incredible. It's just another reminder of how vibrant and incredible this city is, and it's a great way to kick off the holiday season.
Trouble in 80s Paradise.
They sang about not going for that. And now Daryl Hall is actually saying to John Oates, yeah, you can't go for that. They're the famous duo Hall and Oates, and now Hall has filed a restraining order against Oates following an alleged breach of contract. The docs are sealed, but the restraining order is set to start next week. They formed Hall and Oates in 1972. Matt Piper, CBS News.
Pro sports leagues are promoting responsible sports betting.
We love the game. because anything can happen.
Their new ad insists there is no easy money. It is part of a new campaign with sportsbooks operators to educate people about gambling. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
In this market, you'll find Fisher Investments is different than other money managers.
Different how? Aren't we all just looking for the hottest stocks?
Nope. We use diversified strategies to position our clients' portfolios for their long-term goals.
You don't just provide cookie-cutter portfolios?
No, we tailor our clients' portfolios to their goals and needs.
But you still sell investments that generate high commissions for you, right?
No, we don't sell commission-based products. We're a fiduciary, the highest standard of care for a financial advisor. It means we're obligated to act in our clients' best interest.
So when do you make more money? Only when your clients make more money?
Yep, we have one transparent management fee structured so we do better when our clients do better.
Sounds like you really look out for your clients.
We do, because our priority is helping them achieve a comfortable retirement. That might be why most of our clients come from other money managers. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss.
All that fancy holiday food can be harmful to your pets.
Those dogs sound hungry, and with mouth-watering turkey and chocolate around, Dr. Richard Bryant at the Salem Animal Hospital says pet owners need to remember.
Never underestimate the persistence of these dogs to find the goodies.
Things they absolutely shouldn't eat include turkey bones, fat or skin, chocolate, onions, garlic, and of course, alcohol is a no-no. Bryant says if you think your dog or cat has eaten something it shouldn't have, don't wait to call your vet.
I would recommend getting them checked out.
Allison Keys, CBS News.
Federal health officials are reporting more cases of kids getting sick from eating those fruit puree pouches. 52 reports of illness have now been reported in 22 states. The brands Wana Banana, Schnucks, and Wise were recalled earlier this month due to lead contamination. The FDA says all of these cases involve kids ages 1 to 4. Monica Ricks, CBS News.
WJJQ Radio Sports Time is just after 6 p.m. and a good Wednesday evening. I'm Alex Cook. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Here is your weather forecast.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. Cloudy tonight with a chance of flurries. Lows level off around 24. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. Highs level off around 31. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 12. I'm meteorologist Derek Height, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
And welcome back, everyone, to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Hope you're having a great Wednesday so far today. Now, currently joining me is the new Hatchet hockey coach. We talked to him as the member of the new football coach, and now we're talking to him as a new hockey coach, Dewey Riley. Dewey, welcome back to the show once again.
Again, thank you for having me, Alex.
All right, we're going to go ahead and get right into this here. You're coming into a spot. Chris Bemminster obviously had to resign. Why did you end up taking this job?
I think, for the most part, just continuity and consistency for the kids. I've coached these kids, basically almost all of them, since they learned how to skate. So I've kind of been with them through the progression. And with the way it played out with Coach Chris needing somebody to step in relatively quickly, again, get a 1 o'clock phone call for a 6 o'clock start was kind of how it happened. So
right now... Yeah, absolutely. Here we go. So let's talk a little bit about what your coaching philosophy is. We got a bit of a taste of that during the football season. Is that going to be the same for this hockey team?
Yes, absolutely. As I was talking with our athletic director, Ryan Flynn, the biggest thing that I see going forward is just that consistent message and mentality, especially when it comes to high school sports. You don't always have to be the most talented or most skilled kid. You just have to have that competitive edge to you and that willingness to outwork your opponent. And that is something that, again, I think is the foundation of everything that I bring as a coach, is that, you know, win, lose, or draw, the other team's going to know that we competed, and we are going to try to basically put kids in positions to expose or, you know, highlight their skill set and put the pieces of the puzzle together.
Talking here with new Hatchet hockey coach Dewey Riley here on the Sports QNWJJQ. Dewey, you're taking over a team that set a school record for wins in a season last year with 17, but this team failed in the first round of the playoffs to Northland Pines, a great Northern Conference opponent. What do you think needs to change, if anything, with this team?
I think it's our schedule. When you look at last year, our schedule was not overly strong when you look at strength of schedule. And so I think sometimes in high school hockey especially, records can be deceiving. And at the end of the day, you know, it's a brand new season once February starts. And so going forward, I want to be playing teams that are, you know, on the higher end, you know, in the top 40, top 30 of the state, so that when we come to February, we are ready to compete in our region and ultimately trying to get a berth to state.
You know, you look at this particular team, you took over like essentially like that, as you previously mentioned. How does this team look so far for the first few days of practice?
So far, very good. Energy's high. You know, again, I've been working the kids to say the least, and so as much as they haven't been complaining, I have been having to adjust practices to accommodate for soreness and everything else because they haven't had anything like this for a while. Some of these kids did not play another sport since last February. And so it's just getting legs underneath you, using those little muscles that are unique to hockey and getting them back into skating shape and ultimately trying to implement scheme system mentality for the team to be successful.
Again, talking here with new Hatchet hockey coach Dewey Riley here on the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Dewey, you and I talked before the season started very briefly off the air about how young yet quite experienced this team is, because you're returning Jonah Dickens, you're returning Austin Lamer, a couple of key pieces as well. You're going to be getting Rex Riley back, obviously, hopefully within the next couple of weeks. What's going to be an area improvement, though, for this team?
I think, you know, we kind of joke behind the curtain a little bit in that we're getting the band back together. These kids, and that's the beauty of hockey, is that it's not always about, like other sports, what grade you're in. It goes by your birth year. And so these kids have been mixing and matching every other year together since they started playing hockey. And so when you get a special group of people together that have been playing together for a very long time, some really neat things can happen. And again, when we're out on the ice, when we're in the locker room, and kids are joking around and we're having fun, it's really fun to be a part of.
So right now we'll go ahead and wrap this up here with your tournament that you open up with this week, and you go to Amory, which is a long drive. You take on a couple of pretty good teams in Amory and St. Paul Johnson. What are you going to be looking for in your first games of the season?
Surprisingly, very similar to football. Again, it's not where you start, it's where you finish. And so this is going to be a learning curve, not only for the kids, but for me as far as, again, getting people in places to be successful. I look at this as very much our preseason. These games are just a very good barometer and litmus test for me to see where the kids are at, what we need to work on, so that when we come back in a week and a half and we start hitting Rhinelander and things like that, that we're hitting the conference strong. Again, not starting with a conference game, but two quality opponents. Amory finished number two in Division II last year. I'm excited about it.
Any final thoughts before we wrap up here, Dewey?
No. As always, and just reiterating from the football season, we had our switcher night the other night, our fundraiser. I think that from what I was told, it set a new record again, which was awesome. It's just a super positive feeling to be part of a community that is, you know, you can feel the tide is turning and the culture is starting to come back where people are getting excited again.
Again, Tomahawk season begins this Friday with the tournament at Amory. Their first game is at St. Paul Johnson, Friday evening at 5 o'clock. Dewey Riley, thank you for joining me.
As always, thank you, Alex.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of the Sports Q right after this here on WJJQ.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Sweet, creamy, crunchy, and peanut buttery to satisfy your pie craving with this month's Blizzard Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Pie Blizzard. This limited edition treat mixes creamy, chocolatey Reese's Peanut Butter Cups and crunchy graham cracker pie crust blended into Dairy Queen's smooth, world-famous vanilla soft serve. And yes, of course, there's whipped topping. No pie is complete without it. Head to Dairy Queen and try one. Skip the line and order from the DQ app, and your Blizzard treat will be waiting when you arrive. Dairy Queen, open with new winter hours, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., located on North 4th Street, overlooking the Wisconsin River.
The The Black Friday sales event is going on now at Brickner Motors in Little Chicago. Get amazing deals on remaining new 2023 models, like 15% off MSRP on new 2023 Jeep Grand Cherokee and new 2023 Grand Cherokee L's. Hybrids excluded. Take 10% off MSRP on new 2023 Ram 2500, 3500 and remaining new 2023 Ram 1500's crew and quad cabs. Excludes TRX. New 2024 models are arriving and they do have Black Friday deals like $5,000 off new 2024 Ram 1500 Bighorns. New 2024 Ram 2500s has $3,000 off during commercial truck season. Take $3,500 off a new 2024 Grand Cherokee Limited. Chrysler Capital is offering financing with no payments for 90 days on eligible vehicles. Don't miss the Black Friday sales event at Brickner Motors. Take the short drive to Little Chicago and let our family take care of yours. For qualified credit, see dealer for details.
Foley's Tree Service, caring for your trees since 1980. This is Ted Foley, ISA certified arborist and second generation family owner. Our employees are trained and educated professionals who respect your property as if it was their own. Whether it is tree removals, pruning, stump grinding, lot and land clearing, tree preservation, or even storm damage cleanup, we are here when you need us. Call us at 715-453-2407 or for our Minocqua listeners, 715-358-2406. Check us out online at foleystreeservice.com. Foley's Tree Service, fully insured and offering free estimates.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Hope you're having a great Wednesday so far today. Thank you very much for Dewey Riley for joining me on today's show. It'll be very, very exciting to see him in the Hatchet Tournament coming up. Our first Hatchet Hockey broadcast of the season will be a week from Thursday, so a week from tomorrow, with Tomahawk Hockey, taking on Rhinelander. Puck drops at 7 o'clock. Zach Garner will join me in the broadcast booth. Fairman Orthodontics pregame show at 6:35 as well. But now that the hockey's out of the way, let's dive into some basketball, shall we? We're going to go over Bucks and Badger basketball here for you. Let's start off with Milwaukee. The Bucks have gotten off to a much hotter start so far this season. They got off to a bit of a slow start with the way that things were going. Now they have officially won five straight, and they have scored 130 points over the last three games, which is tied for the single-season franchise record. Kudos to them. The one thing I've noticed with Milwaukee over the last few games is that their offense is starting to come together. No matter whatever way you think about it, the offense is coming together with Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard trying to find their niche. And again, the big thing is Damian Lillard, I think he'll be okay. He's still struggling a little bit shooting from the field, but he has had a lot better, he's had a lot more better games over the last couple of weeks than he has to begin the season. He had another 20-point game last night. He had 22 points and 7 assists in the team's win over Washington, which we'll get to in a moment. But the thing that's really surprising me is how much Giannis Antetokounmpo is still being used. He has averaged 37 a game over the last five games. 37, which is remarkable. Lillard is starting to understand his role, and the big thing, it's not Chris Middleton that's, you know, stepping up and scoring 25, 30 points a game. He's still been on a minutes restriction. It's been Malik Beasley. He's been on a tear. He's had at least 3 three-pointers in 4 of the last 5 games, including a 30-point showing in Toronto last Wednesday, which I think was the most impressive performance of his season so far. 8 of 11 from 3-point range was Malik Beasley. So over the 5-game winning streak, the Bucks have put up 118 against the Bulls. They got a 35-point, 11-rebound night from Giannis. They put up 128 at Toronto. That was Malik Beasley's 30-point game. And Damian Lillard also had 37 points and 13 assists. Bucks put up 130 in Charlotte, which, again, Charlotte's one of the worst teams in the NBA. He had 7 in double figures led by Damian Lillard with 27 points. That is going to win you a lot of games in the NBA. And then probably their most impressive performance was outscoring the Dallas Mavericks 132-125 this past Saturday. And Giannis had a big night, 40 points, 15 boards, 7 assists. Damian Lillard, 27 points and 12 assists. The Bucks were able to come back and knock off Dallas thanks to a big fourth quarter from Milwaukee's two stars. And just Monday night, they knocked off Washington with a 142-127 victory. Another big night from Giannis Antetokounmpo, 42 points, 13 rebounds, 8 assists. And also Damian Lillard had a big night, 22.7 assists. And it was balanced scoring once again. Chris Middleton at 18, Bobby Portis 17, Brooke Lopez 16 with 5 blocks. So the Bucks have been able to put together a lot of wins, including going 2-0 in NBA in-season tournament play, which they'll have their next one coming up this Friday against Washington, this time at Fiserv Forum. Here's my thing, though, with this Bucks team. They have been playing incredibly well so far, but their defense does need to get better. Their defense is currently ranked 22nd in the NBA in terms of defensive efficiency. So if you want to go ahead and sit here and say that the offense is going to be fine, if they will stay at number 4 in the NBA in terms of scoring and offensive efficiency, which is where they are now, I will tell you that the best thing for Milwaukee to do is to be top 10 in defensive efficiency by the end of the season. I do think that'll get better, and still that's trying to incorporate, you know, his role that's still with a new coach, Adrian Griffin, in the mix. We knew that there was going to be a drop-off defensively from this Bucks team when they traded Jrue Holiday. It can be corrected. It can be corrected. Damian Lillard is not a better defensive player than Jrue Holiday. That would be ridiculous. But Damian Lillard's offensive game is so much better than Jrue that the Bucks essentially had to make this move. Now, they've got 5 games left in November, including being in Boston tonight. That's going to be getting underway pretty soon. Tip off at 6:30. They got Washington for an in-season tournament game this Friday at home. Sunday, they've got Portland at home. Damian Lillard plays against his old team. They're at Miami on Tuesday, which is an in-season tournament game as well. That'll probably be the toughest one I think Milwaukee will face, and it's the last one as well. And then they wrap it up, and then they wrap up November in Chicago on the 30th. Let's see what the Bucks do against some stiffer competition. I think that they could at least go 4-1 in this stretch. Boston is going to be tough because the Celtics have been a very good defensive team, and also the Miami Heat are going to be tough because we know what happened between the two teams in the postseason last year. Overall, been a good showing for the Bucks. Now let's transition over to Bucky and the Badgers. Listen, I was very, very concerned about Wisconsin's defense to begin the season because giving up 76 to Arkansas State is not necessarily what you want. They just put forth their best defensive performance on Monday, 65-41, knocking off Virginia in the Fort Myers tip-off tournament. They're going to play their championship game later tonight. I'll get to that in a few minutes. But knocking off Virginia, who, by the way, coming into that game was ranked number 24 in the country. So they're no slouch by any stretch of the imagination. That was the best defensive performance that the Badgers put up by far this season. And it's not just because of the point total. It's because that they stymied Virginia's offense in more ways than you can describe. They out-rebounded Virginia by 25 and including 14 on the offensive end. So the Badgers used their height to constantly get rebounds on both sides of the ball, which is exactly what a well-coached Badger team is supposed to get. He got a big night from Steven Crowell, double-double from him, 15 and 10. Tyler Wall had 10 rebounds. And let's talk about a couple of newcomers here to this Badger team. One of them a transfer, and the other one a freshman. The freshman I want to talk about, John Blackwell. This kid is a good scorer. He has put up double-digit points in 4 of Wisconsin's first 5 games, including putting up 10 points Monday night against Virginia. A very good defensive team, by the way, too. Blackwell is a freshman from Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. So he is from the other side of Lake Michigan, if you will. And he's got 4 games in double digits already, including putting up 18 against Providence, I believe it was, last week. He is performing at a very, very high level on the offensive side of the ball. And the other guy I want to talk about, other guy I want to mention, is A.J. Storr. Now, A.J. Storr is a guy that started his college career elsewhere. He's currently a sophomore, but he started at St. John's, which the Big East is still pretty stiff. You do have Marquette there, with the Badgers and Marquette. That's going to be a fun game to watch in the Kohl Center. If I had enough money, I would try and buy tickets to go to that game. That is going to be so much fun. Now, Storr transferred from St. John's. He was a Big East all-freshman last year. He's a sophomore from Rockford, Illinois. So this is a little bit more of a homecoming for him. And he has put up 3 15-plus point games already this season. He struggled against Virginia, which is fine. Not everybody is going to be hot for Wisconsin, especially in a slow-paced offense. They have sped it up a little bit. That's mainly due to the shortened shot clock and trying to adapt to everybody's game. But kudos to both Blackwell and Storr. These two newcomers have provided a huge boost offensively for this Wisconsin team. And I'll say the same thing about the Badgers, though, that I said about the Bucks just a few minutes ago. The defense needs to be more consistent. Period, plain and simple. No matter whatever way you slice it, it does need to be more consistent. Now, again, it can be corrected. It can be corrected. No doubt about it. But giving 68 or more points up in four games to begin the season is not the way that you want to start. They gave up 76 to Arkansas State. They gave up 68 to Robert Morris. The two that are understandable, I can understand giving up 80 to Tennessee. Tennessee's a top 10 team in the country. Heck, I can understand giving up 72 to Providence. Providence, even though they're not a powerhouse, they are still a very good team that will be a consistent stay in the tournament throughout the next few years. So it's not like they're any slouch. But you can't give up 68 to Arkansas State, and you can't give up 68 to Robert Morris. That's my take with Wisconsin. They'll be playing for the Fort Myers Beach Division Championship tonight. They're taking on SMU down in Fort Myers, Florida. Tip-off is at 7:30. Game will be broadcast on Fox Sports 1. We're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll go over scores from last week's NFL action, and I'll be making my NFL Week 12 predictions. That'll be coming up here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. High school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
John J. Schuene Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes Design Studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for excavating, trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Schuene Construction of Tomahawk.
Premier Heating and Cooling, your local Lennox dealer, would like to remind you the cold weather season is on the way. Make sure your furnace is ready. Lennox makes the air warmer, drier, cleaner, and better with innovative systems that are exceptionally quiet and energy efficient to save you money. Ask about the buy one and get one free special on a Wi-Fi enabled thermostat with a qualifying purchase of a heating and cooling unit. Call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700 for a free estimate for your Lennox heating needs and great service after the sale, with special protection plan memberships available. Lennox innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling, serving customers from Weston to Woodruff and locations in between. Call 453-4700, online at premierheatingcooling.com, or their showroom at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County Road A, Tomahawk.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. Cloudy skies tonight with a few flurries possible at times. Lows level off around 24. West winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Highs around 31. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. Partly cloudy again tomorrow night. Lows level off around 12. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
When we show up for others, we add purpose to our lives. At Crossbridge Community Bank, we make your needs our priority, and we show up on purpose to support you. We build the relationship. We offer tools that make a real difference, and we help you navigate what's ahead. Crossbridge Community Bank. Purpose first. Serving Tomahawk, Merrill, and surrounding areas. Visit crossbridge.bank. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. Hope you're having a great Wednesday so far today. Let's now go over the scores from NFL Week 11, and then we'll get right into our NFL predictions for Week 12. Starting with the Thursday night game last week, Cincinnati lost the game and Joe Burrow for the rest of the season. Baltimore won 34-20. Packers getting back in the win column. They knock off the Chargers 23-20. Lions over the Bears 31-26. Dallas over Carolina 33-10. Giants over the Commanders, a bit of a shocker, 31-19. Jacksonville over Tennessee 34-14. Cleveland over Pittsburgh 13-10. Miami over Vegas 20-13. Houston over Arizona 21-16. San Francisco over Tampa Bay 27-14. Rams coming back to knock off the Seahawks 17-16. Buffalo over the Jets 32-6. And Denver over Minnesota 21-20. Philadelphia knocking off Kansas City 21-17. Those are the scores for my predictions last week. I went 10-4, which is, I think, a pretty good record overall, if I do say so myself. But now, without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into our Week 12 NFL predictions. All right, no teams are off this week, so let's go ahead and jump right into it here. We've got three Turkey Day games for you. We'll have two of them broadcast here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. First one we'll have is the Lions and the Packers from Ford Field. That'll get underway at 11:30. Coverage will begin at 11 o'clock here on WJJQ. This is going to be a first for me this year. I'm taking the Lions to knock off Green Bay. Here's the reason why. I don't think that Green Bay will be able to run the ball consistently against the Lions' defense. I do think that they'll make it close considering Detroit's struggle against Chicago, but I got the Lions winning 27-20. Dallas at home taking on the Washington Commanders in the second game of the season. So right while you're having your turkey dinner, let me know, by the way, your favorite Thanksgiving dish. Go ahead and tweet at us at WJJQ. I got the Cowboys winning this game. The Commanders have free fallen a little bit, not necessarily because of the fault of Sam Howell, but I think because you need a new regime in there. I got Dallas winning 30-17. And then the nightcap, it'll be a good one, a wild NFC West battle in Seattle as the San Francisco 49ers take on the Seattle Seahawks. To me, the Seattle Seahawks did get exposed a little bit in their loss to the Rams earlier last week. I do think that the 49ers are the better team. I think it'll be close. I think the Niners win 28-21. Miami and the Jets on Black Friday on Amazon here on WJJQ. We'll actually have the broadcast of the Thursday night game. We'll have the Dolphins and the Jets on Amazon. That gets underway at 2 o'clock, Black Friday football. Jets going with Tim Boyle at quarterback instead of Zach Wilson. That's not going to make much of a difference. I think the Dolphins win easily 24-10. Now we go to the Sunday games. We got a good AFC South matchup for you to kick it off. Got Jacksonville at Houston. The Houston Texans are coming off a pretty impressive win. They have been able to get on a tear. C.J. Stroud has performed absolutely phenomenal so far this season. But I think the Jaguars are going to get the revenge on Houston from their loss earlier this year. I think the Jaguars win 28-27. Intriguing NFC South matchup in the works. New Orleans at Atlanta. The Saints are going to be going likely without Derek Carr. Jameis Winston going to be the starter. Atlanta still going with Taylor Heineke. I think the Saints will end up winning this game. I just think that they're the better team from Atlanta. Plus, I think Arthur Smith will probably be on his way out. Saints win by 6. Indianapolis at home against Tampa Bay. Again, another intriguing matchup. I think that this will be tough. Shaq Leonard just got released by the Colts, and I think what was a shocking move by what... by my standards. I think the Colts will ultimately win this game, though. I think that it'll be a close game, but I don't think Baker Mayfield without Shine Gardner Minshew. Final score of that game will be 21-17. Now we're going to have our very first upset of the day. It will be the Carolina Panthers over the Tennessee Titans, in my opinion. The Titans have gone into free-falling mode. Again, both teams working with a rookie quarterback. Sometimes with rookie quarterbacks, you find ways to win games. I think that'll be the case with Carolina. I think they pull off the upset and knock off Tennessee 23-21. Giants at home against the Patriots. I won't do the sound effect because it's really hard to do it pre-recorded, but all hail the New York Giants! There you go. I think the Giants will win. I think that they will knock off the New England Patriots, and I think that this will be the final game of Mac Jones as a starting quarterback for New England. I think the Giants win 27-17. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. Bengals are going to be going with Jake Browning instead of Joe Burrow. Burrow out for the rest of the season with a wrist injury. Pittsburgh on the road. They're trying to bounce back after losing to Cleveland. Kenny Pickett. The big thing with Pittsburgh is how well their offense will look now with Matt Canada now gone. I want Kenny Pickett to have a big game this upcoming Sunday. I got the Steelers winning 20-19. Cleveland at Denver. This is going to be an intriguing matchup. Denver winning 4 straight after starting 1-5. Cleveland still going with Dorian Thompson-Robinson at quarterback. I think that this will be a very, very fun matchup. I'm looking forward to this one. I think the Broncos will extend their winning streak and win 23-20. Rams at Cardinals. Cardinals look a little bit better with Kyler Murray back at quarterback. They'll still be competitive, but I think it'll be the Rams that ultimately come away with the win. I think Matt Stafford makes another key drive at the end of the game. Rams win 23-21. Nationally televised game on CBS, Philadelphia at home taking on the Buffalo Bills. I think that this is going to be an intriguing matchup. Buffalo, this is a must-win game for them. I don't think they'll get it, though. The Eagles, to me, in their game against Kansas City showed that they can win against really good teams, so I'm going to go with the Eagles to win 31-21. Kansas City looking to get back in the win column in Vegas against the Raiders. Raiders still going with Aiden O'Connell at quarterback. Chiefs have struggled mightily offensively, losing to Denver and then losing to Philly at home. I think they get the win here. I think the Chiefs win 28-17. They're going to need a big game from Travis Kelce, though, if they're going to pull it out. Now we got Baltimore at the Chargers on Sunday night. We'll have the broadcast of that game for you here on WJJQ. Knowing how the Chargers season is going to go, I am going to go with the Ravens, but in a close one. Chargers always seem to lose by 3 points or less, so I will take the Ravens 34-31. Monday night, Minnesota and Chicago. We'll have the broadcast of that game for you also on WJJQ. I think it'll be the Bears in an upset. I think the Vikings will fall back down to earth with Josh Dobbs at quarterback. And I think the Bears win 21-20. Those are my NFL Week 12 predictions on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'll be back to wrap things up after this.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to The Sports Cube on WJJQ.
Is your furniture still too nice to throw out, but you need something different? No worries. We take trade-ins and offer great deals every day at Tomahawk Furniture and Gun. Stop in at 109 West Wisconsin Avenue to see our latest lineup and all your hunting needs, too. Did you hear? We opened a second location as well. Our new and used furniture and mattress outlet is located at 730 East 2nd Street in downtown Merrill. That's right, two great locations for all your wants and needs. It's Tomahawk Furniture and Gun, downtown Tomahawk, right next to the Pine Tree Supper Club, and our Merrill Furniture and Mattress Outlet on East 2nd Street. Price is so low, you've got to bend over to see them.
Come on, come on, choose, have the motion for you.
Hi, this is Stephanie Ahrens, Doctor of Physical Therapy at Health and Motion in Tomahawk. Health and Motion is a therapist-owned outpatient clinic with 8 locations in northern Wisconsin. Our skilled providers treat a wide variety of musculoskeletal conditions, post-surgical cases, vertigo, jaw pain, and many more. Here at Health in Motion, we value our one-on-one time with patients using treatments backed by research and cutting-edge technology to get our patients better faster and with greater satisfaction. Give us a call to schedule an evaluation or a complimentary 15-minute screen with one of our therapists. Majority of the time, we can get you scheduled within 48 hours. Simply call 453-6650 or look at our website, himwi.com.
So come on!
Cold weather season is here, so make sure your vehicle is as dependable as your car dealer. For 39 years, Gary at the Auto House has been getting generations of his customers ready for winter driving with quality vehicles, and right now is a great time to stop at the Auto House of Tomahawk and check out their inventory with the best selection of vehicles in the area. Cars, trucks, SUVs, there's over 40 units to choose from, and if you don't see your car on the lot, just ask Gary and he'll do his best to find the vehicle that you're looking for. The Auto House in Tomahawk features an ASC-certified technician if your vehicle needs repair work. And remember, if you ever need a rental vehicle, the Auto House rents vehicles too, and that's what you call doing business the right way. The Auto House is on North 4th Street in Tomahawk and online at autohousecars.net. That's AUTOHAUS cars.net. That's the Auto House, North 4th in Tomahawk.
Final time here on the Sports Cube here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Thank you very much for tuning into tonight's program. Take a look at upcoming Hatchet events coming up this weekend. The Hatchet hockey team will be traveling to Amory for their first tournament of the season. First game will be Friday against St. Paul Johnson at 5 o'clock, and then they'll have a matchup with Amory on Saturday at 2:30. Taking a look at upcoming Hatchet broadcast, Hatchet boys swim team will actually have their first dual meet of the season Tuesday at Anago. That begins at 5:30. Tomahawk hockey squad will have their first home game of the season when they take on Merrill East Puck will drop at 7 o'clock Tuesday night. Hatchet JV and varsity boys basketball squad will also be opening up their season Tuesday as they travel to Three Lakes. JV tips off at 5:45 and varsity will tip off at 7:15. And our next broadcast of Passion Sports will be on Tuesday the 28th. The Hatch JV and Varsity Girls Basketball Squad will be back in action for their first Great Northern Conference game of the season when they travel to Anago. JV will have tip-off at 5:45. Varsity will tip off at 7:15. Terry Tim will join me in the broadcast booth for the Varsity game. Fairman Orthodontics pregame show is at 6:50 on WJJQ. Thank you very much for tuning in to tonight's program here on WJJQ. Thank you very much also to Bill Schmidt and Dewey Riley for joining me on today's show. I hope that you enjoyed it as well. I hope from one Wisconsin night to the next, we hope that Green Bay gets a victory on Thursday. But more importantly, have a very happy and safe Thanksgiving wherever you may travel to. Have a lot of turkey, stuffing, cranberry sauce, yams, pumpkin pie, whatever you want. I hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. That's going to wrap it up. Thank you very much for tuning into the Sports Cube here on WJJQ. Be sure to join in next week for our next edition. And I hope you have a sportacular week. Hey!
You've been listening to the Sports Cue on WJJQ. Be sure to join again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community right here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk.